Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is In The TV recommend show.
Hello, and welcome to Show Me Magic, episode 18. My name is Bill Cummings. This is a new music recommendations podcast. Today, we're joined by Jim Orton.
Hello.
And our special guest, an albums editor from God Is In The TV, Loz Etheridge.
Hello.
How you doing, Loz?
I'm good. Thanks, Bill. Yeah.
People who don't really know what you do, Loz, what do you do on the website and what do you do in normal life? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I don't do anything in normal life, really, to be honest. I run a pub quiz, but that's out at the moment, obviously. Yeah. So other than that, I try and get on quiz shows and I run the album reviews and do interviews with up-and-coming artists, known artists, etc.
Legends.
Some of them are legends, yeah.
You've had a couple, haven't you?
I never forget that. Martha Reeves singing down the phone to me.
Wow.
That was incredible.
Something to tell your grandkids there.
My son's 10 at the moment.
Who was the other one you had recently, wasn't it? From Yes and...
John Anderson. He sang on Zoom to me as well, actually. Yeah.
Is that a common thing? You get legends to sing on Zoom?
Apparently so. If I do get this Kylie interview, hopefully she'll sing to me.
Exactly.
You should be so lucky.
Oh, I set myself up for that.
Can't get me out of your head. If you haven't heard the podcast before, we go around the table and talk about new music, and then we finish off with a few cult classics. We're also going to go into a bit of Mercury chat and some Neutron chat as well. Loz is going to kick us off with the first new track of the week.
Yeah, Crack Cloud, The Next Fix. This is excellent. Trev Elkin reviewed this album for us on God Is In The TV recently. I must admit, I'd never really paid much attention to them before, but Trev's review piqued my interest. It turns out that it's fantastic. I saw that Dom Gourlay, from the much-missed Drowned in Sound, he described it as Talking Heads meets Late of the Pier, meets These New Puritans, meets Animal Collective with elements of hip-hop and techno thrown in. That's pretty much spot on, although I'd throw Beck, Arcade Fire and the Polyphonic Spree into the mix as well.
Whether you're up or down, some sound will help you get by.
Thank you.
like you said, there's kind of all sorts in there, isn't it? It's all kind sorts. Of real mashup.
Yeah,
I love the percussion. It's almost like an African / Eastern vibe to it, I thought.
That's how it starts, certainly, yeah. But it's so uplifting at the end.
Yeah, it goes into like sort of, I put it spouts forth into a spoken word, almost hip-hop-y kind of chant. And then, it goes into like a kind of a sort of a sing-along almost, like an anthem almost, like with a bit of saxophone in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really interesting, really interesting. I saw Trev's review and it was excellent. I haven't actually heard them before, but yeah, really intriguing. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, it's a bit left field, isn't it? It's really kind of twitchy and anxious and not what I was expecting from them at all. It almost sounds like it's quite upbeat, but a lot of the sort of lyrical content is almost like it's trying to convince itself that it's okay. Because like, is it the end bit where it says when you're feeling up or down, like the constant mantra? But yeah, it's good. It's not, say, it's not what I expected. It will take a few listens to really get into it. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what the rest of it's like. So I didn't realise the album was out. I hadn't seen that from Trevor.
That's a really good album, actually.
Yeah,
it's definitely one of my favourite tracks of the year. Easily one of my favourite tracks of the year. I'd be surprised if the album isn't in my top five by the end of the year.
Cool. That's a good recommendation there. And where are they from, Loz? Any idea? I think it's Vancouver, isn't it? It's Vancouver.
Vancouver. They are Canadian, certainly, yeah.
It almost sounds like the end of the world to me. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit more cheerful than the end of the world, mind you saying that.
Yeah.
The way things are at the moment, maybe that is cheerful.
Well, you have to have a kind of bit of a humour, don't you? Dark humour when the world's ending. So, if you want to check out more, Crack Cloud, Pain Olympics is out now. So, scores, what are you giving that, Loz, since it's your pick?
Like I say, it's probably one of my favourite albums of the year, favourite song of the year. So, 9 out of 10, I'll give that.
7.5.
You're a hard taskmaster, Jim.
No. I give that an 8. I thought that was a good, really excellent song, actually. And I enjoyed it. And the video is interesting as well. Definitely check that out.
I haven't got to the video yet.
Yeah. So, to me, for the first, for my first pick of the week, this is Marshmello, and this is Heaven Is You. really love the way it's sort of very uplifting harmony against the kind of a New Order-ish bass line almost.
Yeah.
With kind of like 90s feel to it. I think Andy wrote that it was dream pop perfection. He also put that it was had a synth gaze vibe, and I can see what he means. There's kind of a way that the backing track goes a lot, kind of collides with that kind of almost Scandinavian. It's Russian because they're Russian, but there's almost like a sort of a mysterious Scandinavian tint to a vocal.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Actually,
that gives it a collision that I quite like, and yeah, I picked it because they're not that known and they're quite new and I'm intrigued. I listened to some of the other stuff and it's more guitar-y than this, but this one kind of got that intersection between synth pop and dream pop.
I totally get the New Order reference. I really
do. The bass line is proper Peter Hook. Proper Peter Hook.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are Masha and Igor from Moscow. So that, I think that's where the name comes from. Marshmallow from her name.
Okay.
I just thought it was a play on words.
I did until I just read her name. So
lost in translation.
It's nice enough. I think I like it. I think it's more got potential than anything else. It's very glossily produced, I thought. Perhaps a bit too glossy for my liking. Yeah. But I don't know, I did like it. It's just a bit clean.
Yeah, it's all right. you knew I was going to say something like this, though, didn't you, Bill? It's all just... It sounds a little bit formulaic. She sort of, I wouldn't have said she was Russian, so because she sort of almost sounds like something like Carly Rae Jepsen or something like that. It's quite formulaic singing voice, but I sort of, yeah, like I said, I quite like the rhythm side of it than anything. I sort of would have put it more 80s, like so, in New Order, maybe.
Yeah,
the beginning had more of almost like the jangly Johnny Marr guitar, sort it's nice enough. I didn't have anything bad to say about it. I've got a bit of an issue with formulaic singing voices now. We're sort of doing it for 18, 19 weeks now, and you're sort of listening to all this stuff and you just hear the same kind of singing voice over and over again. And if she's Russian, then maybe she's obviously trying to sing in like
It's obviously an attempt at like a pop song, isn't it? It's an attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the other stuff I've heard is more like in that dream pop territory, you know?
Yeah.
Like some of the other bands maybe we're going to play later on in the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, more guitar-y. This one is proper, you know, an attempt at a pop song, you know, really.
Yeah.
But with an 80s and a 90s kind of twinge, like, which I suppose appeals to me.
Really. Like Laws says, it's got this sheen that say is very prevalent as well. It's almost, if someone's doing it DIY, they sort of try and overproduce things a little bit.
Maybe.
A little bit too clean. Just give it a bit of dirt under the fingernails or something like that. But sort of, yeah.
Depends on my mood, because I suppose I like the kind of melody. It's simplistic.
Yeah.
But it's against a kind of a bass line and a guitar and I quite like. And I wouldn't say it's quite perfection, but it's a good tune. And it kind of captures that feeling of, you know, being in love, basically, I think. You took me down as well on the scores. But anyway, you carry on. Loz, what's yours?
I liked it enough. It's 7.5 for me.
Okay, fair enough.
6.5
because I chose it. You know, you've got to stick to your guns, haven't you? All right, over to you, Jim, for your first pick of the week.
So for me, it's a new EP from someone who's been around for quite a while now. This is Devendra Banhart. And it's not always funny.
The touch of your eyes putting on my shoes seems unwilling. She's my wife's wig off, without a care, then placed with my hotel. Oh well, over and over, it's gonna be a drag. Something's in the air. Not a word between us. Oh, boy. Are you still there? It's last call in hell. Won't you stay for a spell? 'Cause it's not always funny, baby. But I hope that you don't mind when I tell you that it sure is. sometimes. They say it's so very wonderful. Time gets stuck in your face over and over down the rabbit hole. Or whatever the case, either way it's true. Still don't know what to do. I came to see the sights, not to find me lurking in some fancy shop. Love to do you my name, but been here so long. Seems I forgot. Close your eyes, double the crowd. Ah. Always funny, baby, but I hope that you don't mind when I tell you that it sure is sometimes. You know it is sometimes. You know it is sometimes.
Feels like forever. I don't, you know, I, when I was sort of first thinking about it, I was thinking, is this something I first listened to in the 90s? But it's not that old. Just it feels like a long time ago. It's sort of one of those, it was the, like the new folk revival thing that went on in sort of the mid noughties, sort of going into the late noughties. And he did a lot of good albums. I mean, a lot of it was really bloody weird as well. He was, he's, from my recollection, he was like part of like a commune in New York. They seem to be sort of an all-inclusive, almost Polyphonic Spree-esque, where there was like a huge, great, you know, collaboration of people that was in this like musical commune or something somewhere in New York State, I think. But his albums, a lot of his albums are really good, and some of them are a little bit weird. But I sort of got really lucky, but I haven't visited them for a long time, and this suddenly cropped up. This is on a new EP called Vast Ovoid. That was out on the 17th. And this is the newest single that came out on that day. But I hadn't realised that I actually share the exact birth date with him. Looking on his wiki, he was born on the 30th of May, 1981, the same as me, but in Houston, Texas. But he's part Venezuelan and part American. So, but I just quite like this. It's kind of quite traditional sounding. It's almost sort of a Dawn of Aquarius kind of 60s hippie vibe kind of thing, which he's always had. But this is kind of almost making it sound like that now. He's almost gone even further back. To what he was sort of doing, his like 70s-ish kind of troubadour American kind of singer-songwriter thing back in the noughties. But I just really like this. It's sort of a bit more of a return to form, because a few things of his were just a bit too weird. But I quite like this.
I like weird, though, I must admit. I mean, this is an interesting one, this is, because my son's 10, going on 11 now, and he's just starting to develop an obsession with music to the extent that he's starting to sing and write his own songs.
Cool.
Now, I've tried to encourage him not to be too predictable. And I feel like that's something that has always held true for Devendra, certainly all the way back to Cripple Crow, or even maybe even before Cripple Crow. I mean, the first lines here on this song are, "The touch of your eyes putting on my shoes seems unaware, shaves my wife's wig off without a care, then plays with my hotel." You can't really get much more random than that, can you?
It's like he's just like stuck a pin in a dictionary or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I approve heartily.
Yeah. Bizarre, isn't it? He's always been like that, though.
I'd suggest that the melody is pleasant, if perhaps unspectacular, though. It's nice, but I like the lyrics more than I like the tune.
I like the production. It was kind of almost came straight out of the 60s, like something that, I don't know, that was sort of done in like Ashbury
Heights. The Bacharach, I was thinking a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that. Bit more hippie, but completely.
Yeah. Maybe Love as well, something like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a 60s vibe to it. Even a hint of 50s. The sort of strings and the playful melody and the brass and everything.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool. But yeah, like Loz says, quite a retro feel as well. I liked how it's almost like lounge pop, you know?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it's kind of like a sort of a relaxed melody, you know, an understated melody.
Yeah.
I mean, now you say the lyrics, I'm like more intrigued.
But he's always
pretty good though. Pretty good, yeah.
He's always really random. So yeah. He's done, I don't know how many albums he's down now, probably 6 or 7 or 8. His very early albums were sort of quite bizarre, but sort of a bit more formulaic. But this has kind of got say being Venezuelan, sort of the Latino, sort of a bit of it going on, sort of in the undercurrent. There always is the way he sings. It's almost kind of like a nursery rhymed way of singing. He's just a bit different, and I kind of like that about him.
I like that. I must admit, and the way you described him, where he came from, and everything, it kind of makes me think he's like a nice Charles Manson.
Can I be devil's advocate here?
Yeah, go on.
Is he a bit too like considered weird? If that makes sense. He's almost like part of that era of like you said, Polyphonic Spree,
yeah.
Flaming Lips. I mean, I like these bands, but there is a bit of a considered like quirkiness to them almost.
Possibly,
like even his name, I mean, Devendra Banhart, it's like...
Mm. Well, he can't help that, can he?
I think that's really his name though.
Bill. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what I mean? It's his image as well and the backstory, everything about him, you know. I mean...
You think he's trying too hard?
Some of it might be real, but maybe some of it he's slightly like, you know, burnished the narrative a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sure. But I'm putting the other side of it. I mean, I haven't heard enough to really like give like a proper critique here. I thought that was a pretty good tune, though. I thought he was more like freak folk than that, but maybe
I mean, he was in the early days.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Going back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's Devendra. What are we giving him?
Again, I'd probably give that 7.5 out of 5. If it was based purely on the lyrics, I'd probably give it a 9. But the tune, pleasant enough, like I say, but not spectacular.
Spectacular. No, I agree. All right, completely. 7.5 from me.
7 from me.
Cool.
Okay, moving on. Back to you, Loz. Your second choice of the week.
Yeah, this is my song sung. This is called Telling Tales. There are a couple of Northern Irish twin sisters called Georgina and Una McGeo. I don't know how you say that word, that name. I think that's how you say it. And they've got an album coming out next week, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's kind of dream pop meets shoegaze.
Yeah.
And it's produced by the legendary David Holmes, which gives it extra kudos.
Thank you.
this one is a curious one for me because I love dream pop, you know, it's my thing, but
yeah.
And I like the vocal as well. It's quite ethereal. And I like the sort of, again, it's interesting you say it's produced by David Holmes because I did think the production was really good. It kind of cocoons you in that kind of sound, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a kind of spaciousness to it.
There's a butt coming here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a butt. It didn't quite like take off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
within the perspective of an album, maybe it would work. But as just a single track, it didn't. I wanted it to, like, you know, soar. And it didn't. But then maybe it's not trying to do that. Maybe it's just trying to create the atmosphere.
I feel like it's more like, makes me feel like I've gone down to the lake on a sunny day and cleansed myself with the purest water or something like that.
Yeah, it's very, it's very sort of almost celestial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but, it's a bit like, to me, it's a bit like Beach House meets Chapter House. So yeah, that's a mix that appeals to me.
I written down Slow Dive, but, you know.
Oh, Slow Dive, yeah, whatever. I can see that. Yeah.
I can see what you're saying.
I didn't get the Slow Dive. You're talking about
Slow Dive you want to talk about, though. You know, there's quite a few ears. But carry on.
Going down to the lake or whatever. I'm more thinking that I've sort of late night had a couple of doobies and like really nice and relaxed. You've done the Jimi Hendrix and now you're coming sort of chilling out a bit more. The first time I listened to it, it sort of did wash over me. The second time, I just got the keyboards from. Yeah. I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder. I don't know, but I've listened to it again. I'm thinking, am I making it? No, I really am still getting it.
No, that's going to put me right off it. I mean, I love Stevie Wonder, don't get me wrong.
I didn't hear that at all. I can't hear
that song now without thinking of Jack Black's character, Barry, in High Fidelity anyway, completely slagging it off. So, I couldn't get past that in the end. And now I've put that into your mind and... everyone's going to slay it.
Block it out, Jim. I'm trying to block it out.
And they're from. Is it right there from Northern Ireland or Ireland?
Northern Ireland. Yeah, that's right.
Northern Ireland. There's quite a good scene over there at the moment, isn't there? Just Mustard is another band I quite like.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's right.
They're another sort of shoegaze almost.
They're more My Bloody Valentine. I saw them in Reading.
Yeah,
they're quite, you know, visceral and quite hardcore, especially.
And then you've got all the sort of post-punk bands that are coming out, you know, that Jim specializes in.
Yeah,
out of Ireland, you know.
Got one of those coming later.
Yeah, and Murder Capital, Fontaine's DC, all these people. Seems to be a bit of a scene there where labels are looking over there. That's why I brought it up, I guess.
Well, they're Dublin, but it's I think I don't know whether the post-punk scene sort of turned up lately or something, but I think it's sort of, I mean, a lot of doggerel by Fontaine's DC debut album was quite post-punk. I wouldn't really necessarily say what they're doing now is quite the same. It's not, they've been listening to some other stuff, but well, we had, I'd put on I Don't Belong, didn't I think? I Don't Belong, second single, yeah, which is the new album's out like in a week or so, but or even possibly now, depending on when this goes out. So this is a bit different, obviously. This is sort of a very, very dream pop. It's almost, like you say, there's a certain feel of being maybe under the influence. It's quite So I say it's sort of one that sort of went over my head a little bit, not over my head, but kind of drifted over me a touch. And then I got Stevie Wonder, and
you know what, Jim? This is really annoying because I'm singing it in my head, and I've just realised that I'm swaying from side to side like Stevie Wonder did in the video.
Yeah,
you're doing it again, Loz.
I am. Yeah, let's not bring that up again. Did that on Pointless. When I was a terrible contestant on Pointless.
It's weird, like when you look back at yourself, you're being filmed, what you do and stuff. Because I did a panel in Manchester, I think it was like 2 years ago now, and it was about like how to get your music on online, you know, and on blogs and stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, but I was pulling all these weird faces. I think it's because the light was like really bright. Do you know what I mean?
Is that your excuse?
And also, I'm quite uncomfortable on sort of like, you know.
I remember you being on that, and the first thing you did was forget the bloke you were sat next to his name, didn't you?
Well, to be honest, I just met him, and I didn't have a
clue. Well, yeah, I know.
It was Showstream who were interesting. They sort of, which, you know, at the moment might be handy because they sort of do stream gigs, you know, and they were doing that before lockdown. So
yeah, might, that's good.
coming into their own now. I noticed they got a new one coming up. So anyway, back to Song. Is it Son Sung? Sung
Sung? Oh, yeah. We're going to mark it. I'm obviously giving the highest mark. I'm giving it 8.
Okay. Jim?
6.
Ah, not as low as I was expecting you to say.
I'll give it a 7 because I'm interested to hear more. You know, this is my catchphrase now as well. I'm trying to avoid saying it, but that does make me intrigued because I do like a drop of dream pop. So
a drop of dream pop.
I'd like to hear a bit more of that. So I'd be interested to hear the album, you know, from that. But I suppose I was just waiting for that liftoff moment and it didn't come. But then, every song's different, isn't it? And, you know, maybe I was expecting something that didn't.
Yeah, happen. I mean, I wasn't really looking for a lift.
No, I know. I don't know why.
Enjoying it.
I suppose it's just like when you hear a single, sometimes you just think, make that impression on me, you know?
Okay. Sure.
Anyway, it's good. Back to me, isn't it? There's a reason I picked this as well. You're both going to hate it. It's pop, isn't it? Okay, this is Twist without an eye. And are you filming me?
I understand the feelings now, and I don't like how it feels. I painted everything white to start the system in here. And everything seems eerie. Are you filming me? It's like my microwave is looking at me. And is that you I can see? It's like this music to every scene. Is that you on percussion? If flowers need remotes to grow, then is that you with the button? Some ways to get back to the room. It worked on me and had success with you. It's okay, I'll be back when I'm PDA glued. And everything seems eerie. Are you filming me? It's like my microwave is looking at me. Is that you I can see? It's like this music to every scene. If flowers need remotes to grow, then is that you hit the button? Are you filming me? Am I on the screen? Cause it feels like you're watching me. Cause it feels like you're watching me.
Twist, I mean, it's more of a recommendation of her, to be honest, because she's got an EP out, and Twist is Chloe Davis from Barry originally, and now she lives in London, so there's obviously the Welsh connection there for me. Her bio is brilliant. It says she used to work in her father's chicken factory. At 14, she left home for formal education, relocated to a studio in the South Wales Valleys, where she started teaching herself how to sing and write songs. Now she's based in London. But I mean, I've kind of created my own sort of name for what she does, which is like Black Mirror Pop, because it's each song is like about technology and how how we process technology in the world. Do you know what I mean? And how, you know, as a young female, she's processing technology and how it, you know, how it, and it's kind of like a commentary. And also like she plays with that narrative because she's got other songs. One called Are You Listening, which is almost like trying to make sense of all the fake news and the, you know, when you scroll down Twitter and you see all these different like negative things, it's like trying to, you know, it's trying to process that. But this one, I mean, it's very catchy, it's very hooky. And it kind of goes from that almost robo pop with a bit of like maybe Madonna, you know, Drown World from the Rare Light album. You know, she did with Willie Moore a bit. Starts like that. And then it goes into more like a glitchy, almost like Janet Jackson-y chorus-y thing. And I quite like that. And then there's also that deeper element where it plays, each video plays into, you know, her larger narrative, you know, each song on the EP, if you go and listen to the EP. So this is what it is. It's more of a recommendation of her than just the track.
It's great. I mean, I'm surprised that you said that you thought that we were going to hate it because I absolutely love it. I think that is a fantastically intense record, really contagious and kind of creepy in a way. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, she says... I wrote this song after spending time in the jungle in Calais. The whole experience was a culture shock. Coming back into to the very servile Western system after being in Europe's biggest refugee camp. After that, everything about London felt orchestrated and self-centered like the Truman Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's got these like really deep themes like about how technology interacts with our lives. And I just think she's a really interesting new artist, to be honest.
I was really looking forward to talking about this because when you said that me and Loz were going to hate it, I thought pop, you know, your kind of thing. Like Loz
said, I suppose it's like alternative pop, isn't it? It's not
very
like...
much so, but it's really interesting and it's really clever what she's doing. I mean, the first thing I wrote down was Black Mirror. Literally, as soon as it starts with all that, it's like, has this been on it? You know, I haven't read anything into it. I just like listen to the songs and wait for you to tell me about them, Bill. But I thought for a minute it had been, and because I kind of almost felt it kind of felt familiar. It's, I suppose that maybe that's sort of the point as well, in a creepy way. It's sort of quite sinister and everything like that. Exactly. It's glitchy and paranoid. The only thing I would say is that the chorus initially, so I felt might have gone, especially with the way it was really weird and very different and very kind of like, it was like twitching, and then it kind of went a bit formulaic synth pop in the middle and the chorus. But I've got over that now. You'd be happy to know.
Okay. I don't mind that, actually. I think that if you've got a level of interest there already, then it doesn't have to just break new barriers all the time, does it? I think.
I feel like it's deliberate as well, that it has from this twitching kind
it's
of
got really a hook. Creepy,
but then being kind of mellowed out in the chorus, which is kind of, I think it was completely on purpose, which is why I've got it.
Like some of her other stuff is probably even a bit more experimental, you know, to be honest. There's one. There's one called Girl on Your TV, which is basically about, you know, webcam girls and stuff like that. She puts herself in that narrative. Yeah. And there's another one called Always, which is hilarious because it's almost like, you know, Siri or what's the other one?
Alexa.
It's almost like she's doing a duet with Alexa. It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
what I need to hear that. I need to hear it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it because, you know, I've been thinking about putting her on the podcast for a while, but it's sometimes difficult to, you know, push something that is really out there.
I honestly wrote down on here before we came on and you were saying that me and Jim were going to hate it, I'd actually already written my favourite song of the podcast.
Wow. I think of all the choices, it probably is, of our new ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I meant the new ones.
I'm glad you like it.
I did
actually tip her at the start of the year as well, so I'm quite good at this. I'm quite good.
You said quite good at it, but you said we'd hate it. So
it's just because you don't usually like the pop. But I mean, it is a kind of an alternative pop, isn't it? It's not Dua Lipa, but it's got that kind of glitchy, like you said, almost like it's like part of a video game or part of a TV program or part of a computer kind of. It's all about technology, basically.
I felt like I wondered if she'd named herself after Twist from Spaced, but she's probably way too young for that. So.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, classic program.
I think she's like 20 or something. So,
Not even born. I know, she'd have just been born.
Bill, I've got to ask you. In your role as a PR person, Are you going to start sending emails out now saying, I've got a new song here for you, you're really going to hate it?
No. I'm sorry I made assumptions, but, you know, it's just Jim always says, it, like, if I bring in, like, a weird electropop thing, he usually doesn't like it, so that's why I said it. And also, I wasn't sure what you... I thought you'd more like, you know, the guitar stuff, so...
Oh, I like all sorts.
I know you do, but, you know, I just thought it wouldn't be up your street. But, you know, it's good to be surprised, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll give that an 8.
Well, I gave it a 9. Like I say, I like it more than the Crackdown one, so... but, I mean...
Yeah, I like that, the way it starts as well. I do like the way it starts.
Yeah.
It's intriguing. It is intriguing. And she wrote that in lockdown as well, so that's quite impressive. Oh, really. Cool. Anyway, over to you, Jim. Your final new track of the pod.
So next for me is a band called Peel Dream Magazine, and this is called New Culture. Sweet, and it's more because I really like this EP. Really, I was sort of delving into Bandcamp and the new stuff, and I like this, and I let it play on. And the next track is a name that I wasn't even going to even attempt to pronounce. It sort of looks Dutch or something, but that's completely different. So this is quite really kind of fuzzy, shoegazy, kind of My Bloody Valentine, but kind of that slacker American side to it. It's just almost like monotone, but I really like that, and I can't really put my finger on why. But I thought, oh, well, if it's all going to be like this, it might get a bit monotonous. But the next song is basically like Stereolab without sounding French. And it's really interesting. So it's a really interesting EP. And I listened to the album, and it didn't quite live up to it, but they're still just quite interesting. So I think it was after I'd already chosen to put this on the pod. But, yeah, the EP is called Moral Panics. And it's basically, it's not off cuts, but it's stuff that just didn't go on the album that they released in April called Agitprop Aeterna. Yeah. They've got unusual names for these things. But yeah, this EP is pretty much brand new.
I saw Dom Gourlay, who we've already mentioned, raving about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't see that. But yeah, it's just something I stumbled across on Bandcamp. But I just really like this EP, especially the first few tracks on this. So, and this is sort of, it was quite short and sweet, so it's sub 2 minutes, but
because it kind of reminds me of Wire in a way, Outdoor Minor record. It doesn't sound like Outdoor Minor, but I mean, it's gone in a flash, that kind of thing. Albeit this is far noisier than that song was, with some pretty brutal guitar work. I've actually made a note here. It was a very odd thing to say, but I've put there's something oddly comforting about it, like you've found a cozy box to hide from some maniac running around with a chainsaw. I don't know what made me write that, but
I don't know what it is.
It's the production, I think. It's almost like it's sort of like a capsule, isn't it? Almost.
I wrote down that this new culture is quite early Dandy Warhols.
Mm.
Kind of got that real kind of fuzz.
Dinosaur Jr. I had down.
Yeah, certainly.
A touch of. Also, they reminded me of a band called Yuck. Do you remember them? The first album. More the shoegazy stuff.
Yeah, I saw Yuck last year at Green Man.
Yeah, they've changed now. They're a much different band now. When they first came out, they were much more sort of Dinosaur Jr., My Bloody Valentine. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's sort of fuzzy, strung out, and doesn't, you know, hang around long, does it?
No,
it
doesn't have
waves of guitar. And yeah, again, it makes me, you know, intrigued to check out more.
But yeah, it's not,
doesn't blow me away, but it's good.
It's not indicative of the rest of it. As I said, the second song's completely different. Sort of say, quite Stereo Lab, but it's a really interesting EP. And I need to sort of get more into and absorb the album that was out earlier this year. But Moral Panics, I didn't seem to be able to buy it on Bandcamp, which is a bit of a shame. It just seemed streamable. I couldn't find how to buy it, but there you go. But yeah, they're from New York, which sort of slightly surprised me. I almost thought they were going to be European or something, or maybe West Coast.
Where's the name come from? Isn't John Peel, is it?
Well, yes, I think it is, because that's... Yeah. Yeah, thank you for reminding me, Bill. The album, there's a song in the middle of it, which is just basically an excerpt of his radio show. And he's talking about these, like, DIY...
So they either grew up on John Peel and got inspired by what he used to play, or they've heard stuff, you know, that he used to play, you know, and they've been inspired by it.
Yeah, it must be. But yeah,
Depends how old they are.
Oh yeah, but yeah, then there's this bit which is just basically him talking over a little bit of incidental music that they've done rather than from him. But yeah, it's just like an excerpt of his, like a whole bit of his radio show, not like a, you know, a tiny bit, kind of like a few minutes worth.
That reminds me of a joke actually I made on Twitter. Somebody, it was Aidan Moffat was talking about streaming. You know, did you see that rant he went on about streaming?
Yeah, I think so.
And someone said, you don't get high streaming numbers because you're a bottom feeder and you make half-assed music. That's what he said.
Yes.
So then I made a joke, like, and I put the gif of John Peel. I said, next up, we've got bottom feeders with half-assed.
Yes.
Well, love it. Good,
yeah, so what are we giving this one? Jim, what are you starting off with?
8 for me.
I think that's an 8 for me as well.
I'd say 7. I'd say 7.
Okay. You like your 7s though, Bill, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just trying not to do 7.5 because it's, you know. All right, cult classics. Now, I'll kick off. This is Echo and the Bunnymen and Villiers Terrace.
Rolling round on the carpet,
Yeah, I was scanning through Twitter the other day and I noticed that Crocodiles by Echo and the Bunnymen, their debut album from 1980, is 40 years old this week.
Wow.
So I thought I'd pick a track from there. And this, Villiers Terrace, apparently was meant to be a single originally. And for some reason, it was never released as a single. But I've always really liked it. Allegedly, I read on Wikipedia somewhere that I know I can't find it, that it's about them, Liverpool's drug scene and nightlife and rolling around on the floor. And there's a kind of sexual reference as well there. But I just always liked how sort of almost frantic it is. It's almost like, you know, Madman at Dawn almost, you know what I mean? Somebody sort of out and about. And the kind of surprising pianos and almost like a jazz flecked element to what they're doing. And the drums, the percussion is really almost, it creates a kind of a, like a paranoid atmosphere almost, I find, this song. And I've always really loved it. And I love the fantastic outro as well, when it's got those pianos like rippling away and it's got the drums are sort of rolling and, you know, Ian McCulloch sort of, you know, howling over the top. I just think it's a brilliant song, and the way it's sort of slashing with the guitars as well creates that paranoia. It's also quite emblematic of early Echo and the Bunnymen, the first four albums, which are all brilliant, really.
They're pretty much flawless, aren't they?
Yeah, they were absolutely amazing band. I mean, people make a sort of crass comparison. They say, well, if Ian McCulloch had died after four albums, then they'd be even more, you know, exalted than they are compared to, you know, Joy Division or whatever. But because they've carried on and on and on, it's like a different, people have got a different perception of them, which is fair enough. It's how music game works. But I've always really liked Echo and the Bunnymen, especially their early stuff. And yeah,
I love them. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. Yeah. And I've interviewed Ian McCulloch, been lucky enough to interview him and Will Sargent. But Ian McCulloch, I always remember he tried to do the Ken Dodd dad, oh, I can't even say it. You know, that Ken Dodd died joke. That one. Yeah. He tried to do that gag on me. I said to him, I'm not falling for that. But anyway, I mean, everyone has their favourite Bunnymen album, don't they? Yeah. I mean, I tend to favour Porcupine the most, but I mean, I love all the first four. I mean, I love that cold, wintry imagery that Will Sargent's guitar kind of conjures up.
It does.
But I mean, no complaints for me with Villiers Terrace. Villiers Terrace.
Villiers
Terrace. That's a completely different
thing. Villiers Terrace, yeah.
But it's probably the best track on the debut. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Is it a place in Liverpool then, Villiers Terrace, I assume?
No idea, but I assume
it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I assume so.
Obviously, it's a bit before my time. It's sort of someone that I haven't.
Born in 1980, so yeah, before my time as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But
I'm quite influenced by my uncle, though, because, you know, my uncle's from Liverpool he had all the records, you know, so.
It's not necessarily a band that I sort of grew up with. It's someone that I've always thought about going back to and like take and stuff like that. And I should do really. But yeah, I almost feel like Ian McCulloch sort of almost seems like he's aping Ian Curtis on this and this other parts of their early stuff, because he doesn't necessarily sound like this later on, does he? I don't know.
No, this is quite a different one, actually. It is quite a different. And that's why I mentioned sort of jazz almost, because it's almost like the way he almost does like a bit of scatting on it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know that bit, you know. So there is a kind of...
It's quite upbeat almost for a song that it's got to be about drugs. Yeah.
It is.
I don't know whether it's like their sort of experience with something like heroin or something like that.
It's observing other people, but maybe well, you know, who knows what they were up to in the 80s. probably a lot of that.
It's not one I'd heard before, really, because I said I hadn't gone really back and a huge amount. You know, the first I sort of heard of Echo and the Bunnymen was it Nothing Ever Lasts Forever, and then they did the
that's more in the Brit pop,
which I think probably made everyone sort of think, who are these silly old farts, and probably didn't really make them want to go back because it was all a bit nice.
Oh, I like that. I like that tune. It was
a pleasant tune, wasn't it? It wasn't like cutting edge or anything like that.
No. Well, they became a different band, didn't they? You know,
exactly.
But then a lot of bands became different bands in the 90s. It was a different time, you know.
Yeah.
So, and also they kind of nailed that sound, didn't they? That sound that they had early on, the Bunnymen. So when you try and like recreate it, just never. You might as well do something different, really.
I can't help but feel
but
like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was balladry.
When they sort of did all that, that's all that comeback album in the mid to late 90s, and like so you still had Ian McCulloch wearing an anorak with his spiky black hair and his sunglasses. You thought, you know, it didn't quite fit with the way he was looking. Whereas now, you know, this kind of thing, you could sort of just see him looking like that, yeah, and actually being cool as fuck. But, you know, well, nothing ever that. Yeah. He just sort of, I don't know, sort of didn't quite fit. He sort of.
They were, you know, I've seen footage and they just look amazing live, especially early on in the early days. They had this real intensity, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a kind of mystery to them as well.
Definitely. And a bit spiky as well. When I interviewed Will.
Not just the hair.
No, indeed. When I interviewed Will, I did it at backstage at a festival in Leicester. And I remember sitting there with my notes and he accidentally knocked all my notes on the floor flying. I think he was trying to ruffle me a bit, but I kept my cool. And I think he appreciated that I kept my cool on that and gave me a good interview after that. But I think he was just trying to make it awkward for me.
Fair enough. Not enough of that now. Everyone's too nice. Well, unless they're on Facebook, then, you know.
He amused me more than anything, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's trying to test you, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good school of hard knocks journalism. All right, I think we've, Echo and the Bunny Man, I'm going to give that a great big 9.
I will also give it a 9 because they're one of my favourite bands of all time, and that is my favourite track on the first album. So.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
8
did well though. 8?
8.
Yeah. 8. It sounded like you said 8 and then 8. Just vanished.
Eight. I thought you just went 8. 8.
8.
8. Sound like bloody half Garnet then.
Well, of 8. 8. Yeah.
Pieces of 8. The next classic now. This is over to Loz and his cult classic.
Right, yeah, I mean, I've chosen a bit of an odd one. It's Punishment of Luxury, or Punilux, as they became known, with Puppet Life from 1979. Several years ago, it was a music magazine. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Mojo, but they ran a feature that listed what they deemed to be the 100 worst records of all time. And Laughing Academy by Punishment of Luxury featured highly in that list.
Ooh,
it might have even topped it. I can't remember. But anyway, that's utter nonsense, because Laughing Academy was a great album. I can only think that perhaps they couldn't get their head around the fact that here was a band creatively trying to meld elements of punk and prog together, two genres that were supposed to be at odds with each other. But the point is that it worked. It really did. And that's probably best evidenced by this single, Puppet Life, which I think you can fairly assume Franz Ferdinand may well have pilfered somewhere for their sound.
Here they come. They'll never take me away. I won't go to room 16.
You will.
I'm a never first lady in power. We keep the peace and I'm for evil from my feeling of the clarification of the love of sleep. Nothing against trust, it's only for you, it's Christmas. After living bread, daily our day, with this gift, heaven.
Sister Susie! Turning me from free men to puppet life, suspended. In puppet life. Oh. Your demons are my robe, lost in space and time I crawl to you. Once I had my own mind, but in your sewer I was blinded. Wallowing around like an albino crocodile. In puppet life, puppet life. Oh. I used to laugh and make the sun shine, but then you came and made me freeze. I hadn't had a friend for such a long time. Cut the strings, free me, please. Oh, please. My world was wild but clear.
stand over me to watch it over here. Now I have only dreams to sell. I'm going cheap for the gates of hell.
Do you think, Jim?
I'd never heard of them. I had to ask a mate of mine who's actually from up that way, Arlington way, and he said he never got into them, even though they were from Newcastle. I didn't quite
know. Right.
But yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? When it first started, and they had that kind of almost like comedic sort of thing they started off with. What was it they say? I can't remember what the lyric is now, but it sort of almost went a little bit Star Trekking by the Firm. but then he went all Adam Ant, which I like that. And I kind of liked how sort of off the wall it was. It was almost like if Adam Ant decided to have a nervous breakdown, he did really, didn't he? But, you know, if he kind of decided to go a bit kind of almost like not take himself so bloody seriously at the beginning and kind of went a bit weird.
Anyway, I was thinking of like Monty Python mixed with like things like Sparks and Devo almost.
Yeah.
Sparks.
So I was thinking, because they're kind of off the wall melodies and the, you know, kind of new, like, yeah. What would you say the percussion is? Almost like new wavy almost.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it's like. It's just, yeah, it's just.
And I was reading up that they're like quite a left wing, you know, entity as well. Oh, 7.5.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8. Yeah.
7.
Oh, good. I thought, a bit like yours, I thought everyone was going to hate it apart from me, but from what you were saying before.
I like something, you know, bonkers.
Yeah.
So, rounding off this week's podcast with you, Jim.
Speaking of bonkers, this is the much ignored, unfortunately, and much, I love them. I love their first debut album. Most of them are first, their debut albums. This is The Crocketts and Will You Still Care?
When I lay dead and crumpled at the bottom of your 10-story high-rise flats, I can be your rubber man. You can scoop me up and put me in a can and bury me underneath a stone, a stone that says that I am only 19 years old. Will you still care for me? No, 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 no! I don't fucking think so! I don't fucking think so! You're just gonna let it go! You say there is no specific storyline. I am just a figure on a stone mountain. I think I like to jump and float into the sky. By and by, I will reach the bottom. I will be dead and crumpled underneath y'all. Story, high rise, flat.
Yes.
Is this on a TV advert or a TV program?
I can't believe it's on a TV advert.
No, it was on something or a film or
Samaritan.
Something.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Well, I'm going through Buffy the Vampire Slayer at the moment. I'll let you know if it turns up on there.
No, it just it sounded familiar. I think I've seen the video before. Anyway, go around, Jim. Sorry.
That's all right. So the Crockett's was all mid to late 90s band formed in 96 in Aberystwyth. David McManus, an Irishman, but was in Aberystwyth. They're all at Aberystwyth University. And easy for me to say. And they sort of had a few other band members and stuff, but then settled on what they became. There's two Englishmen, an Irishman and a Welshman. There's a joke there. Their first day, the debut album was When We Were Skinny and Wiry. And this one, I came across this song. I say I came across it. My mate rang me up in what would have been probably about 97 and went, listen to this, and stuck it. He'd got it from an Enemy tape. And all I could hear was this bloke going, I don't fucking think so.
Yeah, I think he's a little pissed off in that song, isn't he?
Yeah, and I was completely sold. And then you listen to it properly, you know, you play it to someone with it, with a kind of gentle thing about, you know, will you still care for me? And I lie dead and crumpled at the bottom of your head, 10-story high-rise flats. And then, yeah, then just loses. If you've ever seen it live, it's brilliant. He's absolutely mental, David. He's called Davy Crockett, obviously, you know, that was only the way he was going to go. I remember seeing him quite a local gig just up in Aldershot, West End Centre, and it was just before they released their second album, I think it must have been sort of 99, 2000. They'd released another brilliant single called James Dean-esque, which I've just listened to again today, and I'd forgotten about, and I could have chosen that one because that's equally as brilliant. And he completely painted his torso and face gold. And he just like jumped into the crowd every opportunity he got. And he was absolutely mental. Brilliant gig. They're kind of like this kind of wonky, folky, but kind of, you know, almost like hillbilly-esque sort of rock. And they were sort of like a bit ignored, really. I think they were a bit too off the wall for kind of like the Enemies and Melody Makers and everyone that was wandering around in Adidas and Parkers and stuff. It wasn't really quite up their alley, really. And, you know,
I bought a couple of singles by them. Huh? I bought a couple of singles by them early on. There was On Something was one of them, and that was all right.
Flower Girl was one of the singles, because this was really a single before the album and then on an EP. So then I don't think they re-released it. I can't remember them saying, although you would say it was on an Enemy tape, but I've always loved this song for sort of slightly obvious reasons, especially when you're a teenager. It's just the ultimate rebellious thing you can start screaming from your bedroom, really, isn't it?
Oh, and you need to do that when you're a teenager. You really need that, don't you?
Yeah. The album doesn't quite live up to this. I mean, some really good things, Flower Girl, but and then the single that's off the second album was really good as well. Then they sort of split in 2002, and a couple of them, including Davey, went and formed the Crimea.
Of course, Tragedy Rocks had that. That was a good album, actually. Tragedy Rocks.
Yeah, I was more familiar with the Crimea, actually, and then I went back and learned about the Crockett's. So I had a different experience with them, but I actually interviewed him. I told you, didn't I, Jim, on another podcast? I interviewed Davey, and he's now a nurse in Kenya. Or he was.
Is he?
Absolutely fascinating story. I'll send you the interview.
That's
fascinating.
Great.
Yeah, I like this, and it's the quirky lyrics. It's kind of half introspective, but half like you said, surreal and sort of angry with the world. I suppose you could put it in that kind of Pixies vein, but it's kind of more, like rough around the edges than that, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
His vocal is like almost scorched, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, 20 fags a day, isn't it, really, vocal on this one. But yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing is they binned it off in 2002 after their second album.
Yeah. And the Crimea are probably a bit more pop or a bit more, a bit more tasteful than this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a shame.
I quite like the Crimea, but yeah. It's a different thing, definitely. I've heard that the Crockett's were really good live as well from people.
Yeah, they were excellent. Really.
To me, they're kind of like Dropkick Murphys meets Ockerville River or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It's like
yes.
I mean, I do love it when Davey goes off on one, but I'd probably have picked the debut single "Loved You Once" myself. I mean, I like things that are furious with no let up, and that's definitely that.
All right, I'll give that an 8, I think.
Yeah, same for me.
9.
I suppose we could just have a little chat about the Mercury Music Prize, which has been announced today.
It's quite an interesting list this year, I think. I don't think it's as predictable as in other years.
No.
It's more. There's a lot more pop this year, isn't there?
Justin, I saw a tweet a few days ago. Somebody said, oh, why does pop never get on the Mercury Music Prize? Because they were saying that the only ones they could remember were like Adele and maybe Ed Sheeran, although, you know, why Ed Sheeran was on there, I haven't got that clue. But,
come on, Ed, people.
Yeah, I mean, there has been pop, but I suppose it's never been like an overtly pop prize, is it? Do you know what I mean? Right. I suppose it's meant to be like more the credible side of, you know, the Brits or whatever. It's more artistically credible. Yeah, I think it's a good shortlist this year, actually. And Anna Meredith, it was a couple of years ago, her last album was my album of the year. So.
Yeah, you were an early supporter of her, weren't you? I remember.
Yeah. And then Lanterns of the Lake used to send me little EPs with... wax stamped, individually waxed, hand stamped. I don't know. How would you describe it? Letters? I don't know.
Does that make you want them to win?
I haven't. To be honest, I haven't heard this new album. But they used to be quite like dream poppy when they first came out.
Yeah,
I did give it a listen today.
Yeah, you weren't that enamored, were you?
I wasn't hugely enamored. I mean, I quite liked it. It was quite nice. But
I think they've gone a bit more tasteful than they used to be. Do you know what I mean?
See what made it necessarily an album of the year, to honestly. Mm. I mean, there's a couple of other albums I'd have chosen, but I was
maybe they're being rewarded for their, you know.
Does it work like that, though? Isn't it about
sometimes,
an album of the year?
Sometimes it works like that, yeah, definitely.
Well, if that's the rationale, then surely Laura Marling must be winning it this year. Fourth nomination in like 10 years or whatever, 11 years. So. But she won't. But it's a brilliant album, that Laura Marling album. But then there's quite a few brilliant albums in there as well. We'll see Porridge Radio, one of my favourites, one of my albums so far of the year. Probably my favourite for it. I can't see it being beyond Michael Kiwanuka.
Kiwanuka would be my pick as well. I know it's an obvious one to pick, but that would be my pick. It's just an astonishing album.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, so there's quite a few. I mean, I was quite surprised by Sports Team getting in. I do like that album, but it's quite throwaway. It's quite irreverent. You know, there's nothing to hang your hat necessarily. It's just a bit of a laugh. And it's almost as if, like you said, they're looking into some more pop stuff. So you add like Dua Lipa and Charlie XCX. And
yeah, they're still trying to get Jonathan now writer off the ceiling for those two being on the list.
But then we've all got different tastes. That's the good thing about God Is in the TV, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Georgia's quite pop as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
I think
the singles are much better. The album is good. It's pretty good. But when I revisited it, I was thinking of it for our albums of the year so far thing. And when I listened to it again, I was like, yeah, it's not quite. The album isn't quite as good as the singles, you know. But it's pretty good. She's good. She's an entertaining performer as well. In fact, that's the last gig I went to. So, somebody like Michael Kiwanuka or somebody random like Porridge Radio might win it, I reckon. Or even somebody like XCX, maybe. I don't know. The Neutron Prize is our alternative to the Mercury Music Prize that we do every year, shortlist of. And we're still sort of formulating it and finalizing it. Hard at work, the judges. But we can exclusively reveal three of our choices today, can't we? So what's your choice this year, Loz?
Gemma Freeman and the Cosmic Something.
Their album from last year.
Yeah, their album is great. It's very poppy. Well, not poppy in a pop way.
And it's called Oh Really, What's That Then?
Oh Really, What's That Then?
And it was released last year in October.
It was, that's right, yeah. And it's just a fun album, basically. Like I say, it doesn't need to be cutting edge or anything particularly boundary pushing, but they've written some fantastic songs on there, a little bit like Elastica in places.
Yeah.
Bit poppy, but I mean, that's a bit unfair to say it's Britpop, because it isn't really.
No. Jim, your pick? What's your pick this time?
My pick this time is... something that won't be a shock to anyone who reads anything or listens to anything I've said over the past 6 months or anything. It's Sorry, 925. I've been banging on about them for years now. And I'm surprised they actually followed me on Twitter. I thought they'd block me because they were sick of me banging on about them. But I thought this might end up in the Mercury, because there's a few like publications and sites and stuff talking them up a bit, saying there's a good chance, because it's such an eclectic album. There's so many different styles and different sounds and things like that. You know, it's far from being a formulaic guitar album, and sort of it goes from being kind of sort of wonky, sort of almost jazz-esque with Right Round the Clock, and then you've got sort of really kind of dark and songs in Unison, and Snakes is quite sort of dark, and but then you've got sort of like quite sort of formulaic sort of pop, indie pop with Perfect, Andy chose As the Sun Sets as his choice when he was on the pod earlier in the year, and that's gonna kind of almost like quite melancholic and quite sort of gentle sort of indie pop. But there's so many different sort of layers and textures to this album, and it's brilliant. I mean, it's likely to be my album of the year, sort of spoiler alert. But I thought it might, but maybe it's a case that they refused to pay to enter the Mercury or whatever. Maybe it was overlooked or something. Maybe they've...
Well, they're on Domino Records, so they probably were entered into it.
You'd think, but maybe they turned around and said, bugger off, because you have to pay. I know there's a few people who don't like that.
Well, yeah, some people. But, and also, sometimes a debut album, having it on the Mercury would be good, but then on the other hand, sometimes you want to build up to that, don't you?
Maybe.
You
know, they've been building up for long enough before they even did the album. So.
Yeah. But they're quite young, aren't they? Andy was saying to me.
Yeah.
He interviewed them, and he was saying they're quite young.
Yeah. They're not big talkers or anything like that. They're not. I think a lot of it speak for themselves, and I sort of feel like they get asked. So when I've seen interviews with them, it almost seems like they're being asked the same questions over again, which they get a bit bored by. I think they're a bit wary about being interviewed about it. So I don't know. Loz and Asher. But I just think they're brilliant. I've seen them. I've been listening to their singles for years. I've seen them quite a few times now. They're quite a loud, sort of like more of a sort of a rock band when they're live, but they have their samples guy. And they're just a really interesting and really well-crafted songs, really brilliant album. My only slight issue with it, as I've said before, was that their last song is a reworking of Lies, which is an early single, which is probably one of my favourite songs by them. And if they'd have just put that on rather than reworking, but I can understand why they would have done it.
That happens a lot, doesn't it? There's a lot of bands that do that. Like Fontaine's DC, you've mentioned before, Bill, that you preferred the earlier versions of some of their songs.
Sure.
They actually call it like a refix version of it. They call it something specific, but it's a different, it's basically the same song, but they've just done it a bit weirdly, a bit kind of like sample led, less heavy guitars, which is very, very heavy guitars in the first version, because I think they were more of a guitar band, sort of, but they've been experimenting. They're quite a bedroom band, really. They sort of do a lot of stuff just between her and Loz. They would like, apparently, were quite competitive early doors, trying to put different stuff up on SoundCloud and outdo each other, but they're kind of like the nucleus of the band. But just one of my favorites for quite a few years now, and the album didn't disappoint, despite the fact it's quite a while to appear, and they're going to be sick of the sound of me.
Excellent.
So my choice will be, again, not much of a surprise, is Islet. One of the criticisms of the shortlist this year is that there's not enough of a geographical spread on the, you know, on the, there's a lot of artists from London, basically. So somebody was saying there's not enough Welsh music on there. And this is, you know, I'm not choosing it just because it's Welsh, but I do think that it is important to have different areas represented. You know, I love this album. It's really experimental, but also kind of a hypnotic pop quality to it as well. It kind of pushes Emma Thomas into the role of de facto front woman, really. I mean, they've always been an act that kind of shifts and sounds, shifts in their sound and shifts in their, you know, vocals, and everything about them is always constantly changing and evolving and shifting. When they first came out, they were hailed by the Enemy as like a no wave band. They were kind of like a noisy band. That's in right. in the sort of like 2012. If you listen to their first two albums, they're much more noisy and kind of like almost like experimental rock, art rock kind of sound. And then they did an EP in 2016 called Liquid Half Moon, which is much more kind of going down this kind of electronic textures, almost like elements of Brian Eno and things like that, maybe bits of rave and stuff, and being influenced by like natural environments and, you know, and almost like a transcendental quality to it. Yeah, I just think it's a really excellent album, kind of fits in with that kind of experimental Neutron Prize sound.
I really need to give it some more time, actually. That I hunt to, that's what
I mean. It's very different, and each song is quite different. There are a couple of songs in there. We were talking about Madonna before. There's a couple that are maybe in that kind of rare light almost, you know, still quite weird and still quite, you know, stretched out. And, you know, it's experimental music. They're on Fire Records, so it's going to be experimental. And they're an interesting band, one of the most interesting bands from Wales at the moment, I think.
Fantastic.
Because they always come out with something different every time. And when you see them live, one of the best live bands I've ever seen, I think. Just crazy, like they go into the crowd, everything. It's just like a total, you know, they get involved and everything. They're one of these bands who like don't want to have like a barrier between, you know, artist and crowd. You know, it's like all an audience. It's all, you know, just one thing.
It sounds cliched, but I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of an, I think there's like an American influence there from that. I don't know where they get it from, but yeah. Anyway, there you go. Three albums exclusively revealed on Show Me Magic Pod for the Neutron Prize 2020. Keep your eyes peeled on the website for the full 12 albums. The judges are still deliberating as we speak. Yeah, so thanks for coming on, Loz. It's been great fun.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, that was episode 18 of Show Me Magic. Until the next time, ta-da.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a Goddess in the TV recommend show. Check out more on goddessinthetvzine.co.uk or on our Twitter page, God is in the TV. We're also on Facebook, God is in the TV Zine, with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, ta-da.